Well, we're there in James chapter 1, and tonight's sermon is going to be a little bit different of a sermon. Usually in the evening services, we're preaching through a text of the Bible. We'll take a chapter, half of a chapter, and go through it systematically and learn it. And on Sunday mornings, I preach more topical sermons, but I do try to do my best on Sunday mornings to not give you too much information. I don't want to overload you, and I try to do my best to give you one, maybe two, maybe three at the most points to try to help you remember and understand. Tonight's going to be completely different. Last year, in the last Wednesday night of the year, I preached a sermon entitled 14 Ways to Help Verity Baptist Church Grow in 2014. This year, I'd like to preach a sermon entitled 15 Ways to Help Verity Baptist Church Grow in 2015. I just didn't really feel like the 14 went with the 15. Now, it's a different sermon. A lot of the points are the same, but some were taken out and changed and stuff. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm going to give you 15 points tonight. So tonight would be a really good point, a really good time to take notes, and it's going to be fast. We're not going to develop them. I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to give you a verse, and we're going to move on, and we're going to go through 15 ways. And the reason I'm preaching it is because if you're here on a Wednesday night, on New Year's Eve, it's probably because you either like our church, or you consider yourself part of our church, or you're at least interested in our church and interested in becoming part of our church. And so I figured this would be the crowd to kind of teach. If I can give you 15 practical things, 15 things you can do in this coming year to help our church grow. And like I said, it's not going to be, they're not alliterated. They're not, we're just going to go through them. I'm going to give them to you and we'll be done. All right. So point number one, and it's actually the reason we read James chapter one. If you look at verse 8, the Bible says this: a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And when it comes to 15 ways that you can help our church grow this year, the first point is this: commit to Verity Baptist Church. Commit to Verity Baptist Church. There are many people I've noticed as I pastor. There are many people that will come to church and they'll even be faithful. They'll be faithful to all the services. They'll be faithful to soul winning. They'll be faithful to the activities and things that we do. But it seems like in the back of their head, they're just kind of, they're a little hesitant. You know, it's kind of like they're here, but they're not here. And they've just really haven't decided if this is what they're going to do. And here's what I've noticed. My wife and I were talking about this. What I've noticed as a pastor is that some people come into this thing and it's kind of just a season of their life. This, the whole church thing, the whole Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night thing, the whole, you know, going soul winning thing, reading your Bible. It's kind of a season of their life. And after about 3 months, or 4 months, maybe 6 months, maybe even 8 months, there kind of comes this head where they're either going to become that Christian that does this for years and decades, or they're going to kind of just fade out, and it was just kind of something they tried, and it turned out their family was right, you know, because their family kept saying, oh, this is just a phase, you're being a little radical. And I want to just challenge you in 2015, if you're kind of in that thing where you're kind of having mind, you know, these thoughts like, is this really something I'm going to do for the rest of my life? I'm talking about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just, you know, I go to church on Sunday morning, but this is what I'm committed to. This is what I'm going to do. The first thing that I would challenge you to do to help our church grow is for you personally to commit to Verity Baptist Church. And someone said this, a famous preacher from the past, Jack Hiles, said that we ought to be loyal to principles, not institutions. And of course, when we're talking about committing to Verity Baptist Church, as long as Verity Baptist Church is preaching the gospel, preaching the Bible, you know, standing for truth. But some of you, I need to come to the place where you just decide, I'm in this thing, I'm committed, this is my church, this is my vision, this is what I want to do. And because when you don't do that, James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if you're constantly just going back and forth, is soul winning really something I want to do? Is tithing really something I want to do? Is church attendance really something I want to do? If you're just double-minded about these things, you're going to always be unstable in all your ways. I remember my wife and I, when we were, I was in the Air Force, and we were going to this church, and I remember us being in church and the pastor saying, some of you have a rent mentality and you need to turn it into an own mentality. And he said, some of you are in this church and you kind of treat the church like you're like it's a rental. You know, like we're here for now, but it's just kind of, it's just, you know, this isn't forever. This isn't, I'm not committing to this. And he talked about the fact that you need to treat church not like a rental, but like I'm owning this thing. I'm becoming part of this thing. And I remember my wife and I coming home that night and talking about that because I was in the Air Force and I was stationed. I didn't know how long I was going to be stationed there for. And we had that rent mentality. You know, we kind of showed up for church. We put our money in the offering plate and we kind of left. We didn't really want to develop any relationships. Didn't really want to help anybody or get to know anybody. Or we were just kind of there doing our thing, being able to check off that we were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We went soul winning. We were tithing. We were doing everything that you're supposed to do. But we were just kind of keeping our distance. And I remember when we decided, you know, I remember sitting in the car and my wife and I were talking and we said, I think he was talking to us. You know, I think we've had kind of a rent mentality. And I remember when we decided this church is going to become our church. And this pastor is going to become our pastor. And this, I remember just everything changed. I you know, relationships developed, just the commitment level. When the commitment level went up, we started bringing people to church. I started having converts. My wife started, getting people baptized, people that I worked with, neighbors and people that we knew. And just everything changed when our mentality changed to this commitment issue, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So I want to encourage you, number one, to commit to Verity Baptist Church if you have not yet so done. If you're just kind of still trying us out, decide, is this what was for me? Is this what I'm interested in doing? Is this the kind of church I want to be in? And if it's not, if this is not God's will, then by all means, find the church that God would have you to be in. But if God would have you to be here, then number one, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Go from a rent mentality to an own mentality. Number two, go to Hebrews chapter 10. You're there in the book of James. Right before the book of James, you got the book of Hebrews. I tried to do my best to put all the references as close together as I could. Hebrews chapter number 10, and that's, we're looking at these not in any specific order. We're kind of looking at them in order of how quickly you can get to them in your Bible, because I didn't want to be here till midnight preaching on these 15 points. Hebrews chapter 10, you're there in James. So right before the book of James, you got Hebrews chapter number 10. And verse number 29, of course, very well-known verse we preach about a lot around here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The idea is this. The church assembles together on a regular basis, and you should not forsake that. You should be there when it joins. You should be there when we assemble. So number one, we said commit to Verity Baptist Church. But number two, to help Verity Baptist Church grow in 2015, you ought to be faithful to all the church services. Be as faithful as you can be. And I understand we're going to get sick and things like that. And I get that. You're out of town and you're on vacation. Find a good church to go to in the town you're in. We understand that. But when you're here, do your best to be faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Another famous preacher from the past, Lee Roberson, would say, three to thrive. He'd say, you need three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You need all three. And honestly, we need to get back to this mentality. I was raised with this mentality. My parents raised me with this idea. If the church doors are open, you ought to be there. If there's something going on at the church, you ought to be there. Because that's the most important place you can be, is in the house of God. So what can you do to help Verity Baptist Church grow in 2015? Number one, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Number two, be faithful to all the church services. Number three, go to Ephesians. Now, you're there in Hebrews. Ephesians is towards the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1. And look at verse number 16. So I told you there's 15 points, but we're going to go through them fairly quickly, so we won't be too long. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 16. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says, cease not to give thanks for you. Now notice what Paul, because Paul's talking about the fact that he did not cease to give thanks for you. Notice what he says about his prayer life. He says, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, something you can do to help our church grow in this coming year is not only to commit to this church, it's not only to be faithful to church services, but it's to pray for the church and the church members. You ought to pray for the church. Now, here's the thing. Here's what some of you are thinking to yourselves. Well, I can't pray for everybody. I don't know everybody's name. And that's the problem. If you started praying for individuals by name, if here's what you would have to do. You'd have to get to know people. You'd have to get to know their names. You'd have to get to know their children's names. You would actually start listening when prayer requests are being given, and you start saying, oh, so-and-so is looking for a job, or so-and-so is struggling with their health. And you would start caring about them, and you would start developing those relationships. One of the greatest things that you can do to help our church grow this coming year is for you to begin to pray for the church in general, but specifically for the church members. Like Paul said, ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because if you make mention of the individuals in this church in your prayers, it's going to require you to get to know their names, their families, their situations. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Right before Ephesians, you got the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. So we said, number one, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Number two, be faithful to all church services. Number three, pray for the church and church members. Number four, seek out and warmly greet first-time guests. Seek out and warmly greet first-time guests. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas," notice this phrase, "the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." And here, I mean, there's so many passages throughout the Bible that talk about fellowship. Here's just one example where he talks about that they reached out and they accepted them and they greeted them. And I like that phrase, the right hand of fellowship. And, you know, we ought to have this mentality, especially, you know, Sunday night and Wednesday night. I understand the vast majority of our visitors are not going to come to the evening services. Usually that's more of our family, that's more of our group. But on Sunday mornings, when we have all sorts of first-time guests around here, and there's people, it's the first time they've been to our church, and it's a little awkward for them, and they're just kind of sitting there, and they don't know anybody, you know, instead of just huddling with your friends that you're going to see on Sunday night anyway, and Wednesday night anyway, and you saw on Saturday morning when we were out soul winning just a few hours ago, you know, why don't you reach out and try to find that first-time guest? That individual's kind of sitting there, and nobody's talking to them, and nobody, you know, and they're just kind of, and it took a lot of courage for them to even come to church and come into a new facility with new people. Why don't you seek those individuals and give them the right hand of fellowship? Because that would help our church grow in 2015, to seek out and warmly greet first-time guests. Along with that, go to Acts chapter number 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 42. This is well-known verse as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. The Bible says, "And they continued," Acts 2, 42, "and they continued steadfastly," Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 2, 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," notice this word, "and fellowship, and in breaking of bread," that's the donuts we serve on Sunday morning, "and in prayers," that's the prayers we just had on Wednesday night. And you got to understand this, a big part of church life is fellowship. A big part of church life is the relationships that are established. So not only seek out and warmly greet first-time guests, but number five, I want to challenge you. You got to develop a habit of showing up 10 minutes early to every service for the purpose of fellowship. Let me say that again. You ought to develop a habit of showing up 10 minutes early. Now, if you're an usher, you've got a job that we've already told you need to be here, I'm not talking to you, okay? You guys are saying, oh, sweet, that's 5 minutes less than the last time. No, you need to be here when you were told to be here, all right? I'm talking about those of you that don't have any responsibilities, you have no reason to be here, just show up early. Just, you know, you show up right when the service starts. As soon as it ends, you have a beeline to the door. You don't ever talk to anybody. You never develop. And then you wonder why, you know, I got sick and nobody called me, or I haven't been to church in 3 months and nobody noticed. Well, nobody noticed because you haven't developed relationships. And it would help the church to grow if you decided. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And it would help if you decided, you know what, I'm going to show up 10 minutes early, not for the donuts, not for the coffee, but simply to talk to people and fellowship with people and get to know people. Now, look, I know you don't know this, but let me explain something to you, because I'm a pastor and I kind of make it my job to know some of these things. And a lot of research has been done with church growth, and not all independent Baptists, of course. But, you know, here's what research has found, and church growth experts have found. The average visitor, I don't know if you know this, the average visitor decides whether they like the church and whether they're going to come back or not within the first 7 minutes. I've shared this with you guys before, but it's been a while. The average visitor decides whether they like the church and whether they will come back within the first 7 minutes. And the clock begins to tick the moment they get out of their car. So when they get out of their car, from that moment to the first 7 minutes, they've already decided, I like this church, and they've already decided subconsciously whether they're coming back or not. Here's another thing we know. The average visitor shows up 5 minutes before the service starts. Now, some show up later than that, some show up earlier than that, but on average, a visitor is going to show up 7 minutes before the service starts. Here's what that means. If the service starts at 7 p.m. and we have a first-time guest there, they've already decided by 7:02 p.m., they've already decided whether they like this church and whether they're coming back. Does that make sense? I mean, before we haven't even finished singing the first song yet. We haven't started the service with a word of prayer yet. They haven't heard a verse yet. They haven't heard a sermon yet. At 7:02 for the average guest, they've already decided whether this church is friendly, it's warm, it's nice, and whether they're coming back. Now, here's the problem. When you walk through those doors at 7:03 or 7:04 or 7:05, and you think, I'm not doing that bad on time, how did you help us make an impression on that first-time guest? You understand what I'm saying? See, because here's what happens. The first time guest shows up early, and they're just kind of sitting here thinking, does anybody come to this church? You know, and we tell them, people are coming, I promise. They're going to come. So you ought to commit. You ought to have this mentality of showing up 10 minutes early. And it's not that, you know, some of you struggle with tardiness. I get that, you know. I mean, I don't get it, but I understand it. But, you know, here's the thing, okay? I'm always 15 minutes late. Just push your mental clock 15 minutes earlier. If you got to be here at 7 and you always show up at 7:15, why don't you decide, I'm going to be here at 6:30, so you show up at 6:45. Do you understand that? Just move your mind a little bit. Make a goal or do something. So anyway, number one, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Number two, be faithful to all the church services. Number three, pray for the church and the church members. Number four, seek out and warmly greet first-time guests. Number five, show up 10 minutes early to every service for the purpose of fellowship. Number six, be engaged during the preaching service. Be engaged during the preaching service. Acts 17, look at verse number 11. Acts 17, verse number 11. Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible says this. Acts 17, 11. I understand this is a little bit different of a sermon, but I just want to give you 15 things that you could help us with in this coming year. Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they, notice this phrase, received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So this church in Berea, when Paul stood up to preach, they received the words with all readiness of mind. And when you come to church, you ought to be ready to receive the Bible being preached. No matter who's preaching, whether it's me or a guest preacher or one of the men in our church, you know, I'll have them step in from time to time and preach. You ought to be ready. You ought to be ready to receive the Word of God and be engaged during the preaching service. Follow along in your Bible as we turn to different scriptures. Go to those passages. Take notes during the preaching. That'll help you to remember what we're learning and what we're talking about. If you're a man, say amen when you agree with something. If you like something, you encourage something, man, maybe just because you feel bad for me, just say amen, you know. Just help us out. Women, you know, we're a Baptist church, so you can wave a hanky or something. The Bible says that women are to keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. The Bible says that they are to, you know, learn in silence. So do what you got to do with a handkerchief, I guess. But if you're a man, say amen. Help us out. Number seven, go to John chapter 1. You're there in Acts. So right before the book of Acts, you got John. John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 40. John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 40, John 1:40. Not only can you commit to Verity Baptist Church, not only can you be faithful to all the church services, not only can you pray for the church and the church members, not only can you seek out and warmly greet first-time visitors, not only can you show up 10 minutes early to every service for the purpose of fellowship, and number six, be engaged during the preaching service, but number seven, here's something you could do to help Verity Baptist Church grow in 2015. Invite your friends, family, and co-workers to church on Sunday mornings. Invite your friends, family, and co-workers to church on Sunday mornings. John chapter 1, look at verse number 40. The Bible says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. Notice, he first findeth his own brother and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Here, when Simon, who is Peter, was the leader of the apostles, here's how he came to Christ. His brother, Andrew, went and told him, hey, we found the Messiah, and he took him to Christ. Most churches grow by people inviting their loved ones. Most churches grow by people inviting their loved ones. And here's why. Because when you bring someone you're close to, they never go through that experience of coming into a building and not knowing anybody and sitting by themselves. Because when they come with you, they've got a built-in friend. So, something you could do to help the church grow is to invite your friends and your family and your co-workers to church on Sunday mornings. Now, let me say this, and please understand this, and don't take this the wrong way. But if you have a choice, if you have guests coming and you have a choice, they can come on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, do me a favor and bring them on a Sunday morning, okay? That's not because Sunday night's not a good time for them to come, or Wednesday night. Generally, most of our visitors come on a Sunday morning, and here's the only reason I say it. The only time, and some of you may not understand this, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, please understand me. The only time I can guarantee for you that I will be preaching is on a Sunday morning, all right? And I don't know why this happens. I preach every Sunday night and Wednesday night for like years, and you guys never bring any guests. And then the moment we have like a guest speaker, then everybody wants to bring their visitors, and they're like, Pastor, I thought you were going to preach. It's like, well, I preached this morning, okay? So here's the thing. If you want to be guaranteed, and I understand, the guys that preach here, they do a great job, and I'm not bashing them at all. Our guest speakers, they do great. But I understand, obviously, you bring in a guest, you've been talking to them about the pastor, you've been talking about, you want them to hear the pastor. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe I'll start giving you, letting you know when I'm not preaching and you can bring all your friends. Maybe that's what you're wanting. But if you want, the Sunday morning is the best time to bring a guest. Sunday morning is when we're kind of expecting visitors. Sunday night, Wednesday night, we do good with our visitors. We'll fellowship, we'll do all the things. But Sunday morning is the best time to bring them. It's not because the sermons are different or whatever. It's just because Sunday mornings, we've determined that as being, we're putting our best foot forward. So bring your guests on Sunday mornings, if at all possible. If they can't come on Sunday morning, bring them whenever. But Sunday morning is going to be the best. Number 8, be a faithful soul winner. Go to Mark chapter 16. You're there in John. Mark chapter number 16. Be a faithful soul winner. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Help us reach this community for Christ. You want to help Verity Baptist Church grow? Get invested and get involved into our soul winning ministry. Number 9, go to Matthew 23. Look at verse 11. Matthew 23, verse 11. So number 1, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Number 2, be faithful to all the church services. Number 3, pray for the church and the church members. Number 4, seek out and warmly greet first-time guests. Number 5, show up 10 minutes early before the service for the purpose of fellowship. Number 6, be engaged during the preaching service. Number 7, invite your friends, family, and co-workers to church on Sunday mornings. Number 8, be a faithful soul winner. Number 9, seek an area of service if you have not done so. Seek an area of service if you have not done so. Matthew 23, verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. I preach on serving once a year, and I don't want to turn this sermon into that. But we have a lot of areas that you can volunteer in, that you could help us. And the Bible says, he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. So if you haven't done so, and I'm not trying, those of you, I think every time I mention serving, some of you feel like, Pastor mentioned this, I have to volunteer to do something else. Look, if you're volunteering and you're helping, I'm not talking to you. But if you're not volunteering, there's nothing that you've said, hey, I want to take care of this, or I want to help carry the load in this area. If you have not done so already, you could help our church grow in 2015 by volunteering and taking a load off of us so that we can put our energies into something else. So seek. Number 9, seek an area of service if you have not done so. Number 10, Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. How can you help Verity Baptist Church grow? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Give financially and get invested into our ministry. Give financially and get invested into our ministry. We don't talk about money a lot at Verity Baptist Church, and when we do, it's planned. But As Christians, we ought to have this idea of giving systematically and giving a percentage back to God. The Bible talks about the tithe, and I'm not preaching on that tonight, but you ought to give. And you know, the only thing I like to explain from time to time, because I don't think that people understand this. You know, churches, we're not the government, okay? Like, we don't print money. Okay, we don't just come up with money. You know, we have activities around here, and we never charge for any activities. Anything that's done at Verity Baptist Church is free. We refuse to make the house of God a house of merchandise. DVDs, CDs, everything is free. We will never charge for anything at Verity Baptist Church. The only money that will ever, you know, change hands is during the offering, because that's scriptural. The Bible commands us to do that. But if you don't give, if you have not yet decided, I'm going to systematically give a percentage of my income to the house of God. Just think of these things. It costs money to run a church. These lights, you know, PG&E doesn't just like donate, you know, energy to us. You know what I mean? These lights cost money. This building costs money. Putting gas in that van costs money. The activities that we do around, it all costs money. And here's the only way to do it, because we're not part of a denomination. We're an independent Baptist church. There is no headquarters. There is no one sending us a check to help us do anything. Anything that gets done in this church gets done through the giving of our people. And we do a great job, and you do a great job. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. The Lord has blessed our church with many generous people. But all I'm saying is this. If you have not yet decided to give systematically, to give a percentage of your income to the house of God, like the Bible teaches, you ought to do that in 2015. It'll help our church grow this year. Number 11, go to Psalms, all right? In the Old Testament, if you open up your Bible just in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Unless you got a bunch of studying stuff in the back, then it might mess that up a little bit. Some of you were telling me that that doesn't work for you. Psalm 15. Now, here's the good part. The rest of the points, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, all come out of the book of Psalms. So if you can find the book of Psalms, we're gonna be able to get this done quickly. All right, Psalm 15. So we said, number one, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Number two, go from a rent mentality to own mentality. Number two, be faithful to all the church services. Number three, pray for the church and the church members. Number four, seek out and warmly greet first-time guests. Number five, show up 10 minutes early to receive to every service for the purpose of fellowship. Number six, be engaged during the preaching service. Number seven, invite your friends, family, and co-workers to church on Sunday mornings, preferably. Number eight, be a faithful soul winner. Help us reach this community for Christ. Number nine, seek an area of service if you have not done so. Number 10, give financially and get invested into our ministry. Number 11, Psalm 15. Look at verse number 4. Psalm 15 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "In those in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord." And I want you to notice the last phrase of that verse. "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." Now here's the idea, that someone committed to do something, but the commitment was a dumb commitment. And instead of changing that at the appropriate time, you know, sometimes we make commitments and they're not a lifelong commitment. We're not talking about marriage here, okay? Just something like you committed to do something for 6 months, you committed to do something for a year. And then when you're able to change that commitment because you've committed to something that hurts you, you refuse to change. Now, here's what you got to understand, okay? The Bible says, "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." I want you to, in 2015, as the church members, as the core of our church, the people that are kind of interested in seeing this thing go forward, I want you to embrace change. Now, I know those words are often looked down on in fundamentalism, and I'm not talking about compromise, okay? I'm not talking about compromising our positions, but I want you to embrace change. Someone said this, "A growing church is always in transition." A growing church is always in transition. Our church is 4 years old. We started with zero people, and every year we've grown. Every single year we've grown. We've never declined in our church. The first year we're averaging 25. The second year we're averaging 50. The third year we're averaging 75. Here our fourth year is finishing. We're averaging 100. Lord willing, next year we'll be averaging 125 or even more than that. And our church has always grown. But here's what you got to understand. We cannot minister to 100 people like we ministered to 50 people. And we won't be able to minister to 150 people the same way that we're doing things now. And from time to time, things have to change. I'm not talking about standards. I'm not talking about Bible doctrines. I'm not talking about changing the Bible and bringing contemporary music in. But just, you know, methods and things that we do from time to time. Avoid this, we've never done it that way mentality. And please do me a favor. Never in my presence say this to me. Well, we've never done it in that. We've never done it that way. Okay? People that think that way are structured to not grow. Because you got to understand this. We're not going to be, one day, Lord willing, our church will have 500 people in it. We're not going to be able to do things the same way when we have 500 people that we do now with 100. You understand that? And from time to time, things will change. From time to time, some of you are going to get upset, and some of you are going to end up leaving the church when it happens. But you know that there will come a point when we won't be able to take prayer requests on a Wednesday night? Look, when there's 200-300 people here on a Wednesday night, I'm not going to take an hour and 40 minutes to take prayer requests. It's just not going to happen. So things change as the church grows. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about, you know, standards. I'm just talking about our methods and things that we do. And from time to time, we're going to have to change things. Tonight, the service started at 8. In the future, we may change the service to a different evening. Just embrace the change, because a church that is growing is always in transition. Don't get stuck in this mentality of, well, we've never done it that way, and I don't think we should do it that way. Realizing that if we're going to grow, if we're going to reach more people, we're going to have to change. Number 12, go to Psalm 100. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Number 12, and look at verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 1. A psalm of praise. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know something you could do to help Verity Baptist Church grow? You could sing during the congregational singing. You can open your mouth and loudly sing. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but from time to time, we'll have a singing service around here where everybody's just kind of in it and singing and being loud and just, you know, and it's great, you know. But then there's other times when people are just kind of like, I don't want to sing today. And the service is dead. And one of the greatest things that you could do to help our church, and one of the greatest things that you could do to help visitors be, impressed and excited, is to sing out during the service. And here's what the Bible doesn't say. Because people say this, oh, well, you know, I don't know how to sing, and I don't hit the right notes. But notice what it says, Psalm 100 and verse 1, a psalm of praise, make a joyful noise. Do you see that? Unto the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you can sing, just make a noise. Just sing out. Just be loud. No one's judging you. No one's thinking, oh, they didn't hold that note out. Look, no one's thinking that. Just sing out. We all sing better when everybody sings out. And the best thing you could do to help our church grow, one of the great things you could do is to sing out during the congregational song. Go to Psalm 119. Look at verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse number 165. Psalm 119. 165. Psalm 119 and 165. Something you could do to help Verity Baptist Church grow. Psalm 119 and verse number 165. Psalm 119, 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. And notice this phrase, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Something you can do to help our church grow is stop being so easily offended. Don't be easily offended. You know what I've noticed as a pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church for the last 4 years is this. Everybody loves hard preaching till it's directed at them. Everybody, you're like, hard preaching is great. Pastor, I love it when you're getting up there and you're screaming, you're yelling, you're mad. As long as it's not something that you're in. As long as I'm not stepping on your toes, you're fine. And everybody just, you know, when you were getting on my wife, that was great. Or when you were getting on so-and-so, I love that. But as soon as I get on your little kick or your little problem, then it's like, oh, why is Pastor always picking on me? Maybe you need to be picked on. I don't know. I'm just saying this. If you're going to be part of Verity Baptist Church, you're going to have to get some thicker skin. And something that you could do to help our church grow is to stop being so easily offended. And if there's something you need to be offended about, then let's just fix the problem. You know, we all need to be rebuked from time to time, including and especially me. And when God brings that our way, let's just embrace that. Don't be so easily offended. Everybody loves hard preaching till it's directed at them. Go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Look at verse number 14. Psalm 127. We love it when we're hitting when the preaching is hitting someone else, but as soon as it comes down our alley. So something you could do to help our church grow. Quit being so easily offended. Number 14. This is just for the married couples, okay? I'm not talking to, if you're single, I'm not talking to you. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Something you could do to help our church grow. Hey, you married couples, have children. Have children. We'll grow this thing one way or another, okay? Start having kids. Psalm 127 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We live in a society where we have been brainwashed into thinking that children are, you know, they're like a curse. They're going to ruin our lives. But notice what the Bible says. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, notice, is His reward, is what the Bible says. The Bible says that when God blesses you with a child, that's a reward that God has given you. That is a blessing that God has given you. And notice when the psalmist continues to say, not only does it say, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward, but in verse 4 he says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Verse 5, happy is the man, notice, that hath his quiver full of them. Full of what? Full of arrows. He says, just like a mighty man, just like a warrior, a soldier, is going to go out into battle, and he's going to have a bow, and he's going to have these arrows. He said, if you were a mighty man going out into battle, and you had the option of having one arrow, or one and a half arrows, or if you could have a quiver full of arrows, and you're a mighty man going off to battle, how many quivers would you, or bows, good night, how many arrows would you rather have? He says, look, if he has his quiver full of them, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And then he says this, children are like those arrows in the hands of a mighty man. So here's what he's saying, the more, the better. The more children you have, the more you're blessed. The more children you have, the more the rewards. The more children you have, the more you get to invest and love individuals. Stop having this mentality that children are a curse and they're going to ruin my life. Hey, children are a blessing from God. They are a reward. They're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And if you get to have more than one, more than two, more than three, hey, have as many as God will let you have. Have a quiver full of them. And when you do that, you'll also help our church grow. Because we're either going to multiply by reaching spiritual babies, or we'll multiply by having physical babies. But have children. Don't stop having this mentality that children are, you know, if I have kids, and that's going to ruin my life. No, no, no. God says it's a blessing. God says it's good. And by the way, God said be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But here's the thing. It wasn't just for Adam and Eve, because he said replenish, which means do it over and over and over. That was a command to all mankind, to all married couples. He reiterated it to Noah when Noah, remember, after God destroyed the world with a flood and Noah came off the ark, he said to Noah the same words, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God has commanded us to have children. So in 2015, have children. And in 2015, that will help our church grow. Go to Psalm 139. Look at verse number 15. Psalm 139. And verse number 15. Now, if you're not married and you're single, that wasn't for you. Psalm 139, and look at verse number 15. This is the last, I'm sorry, verse number 23. This is the last point. Psalm 139, verse 23, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. One way that you could help our church grow is make this year the year that you are the most right with God that you've ever been. A healthy church will be a growing church. So we should all have this prayer of search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. 15 ways you can help Verity Baptist Church grow in 2015. Number one, commit to Verity Baptist Church. Go from the rent mentality to the own mentality. Number two, be faithful to all the church services. Number three, pray for the church and the church members. Number four, seek out and warmly greet first-time visitors. Number five, show up 10 minutes early to every service for the purpose of fellowship. Number six, be engaged during the preaching service. Number seven, invite your friends, family, and co-workers to church on Sunday morning. Number eight, be a faithful soul winner. Help us reach this community for Christ. Number nine, seek an area of service if you have not done so. Number 10, give financially and get invested into our ministry. Number 11, embrace change, not compromise. A growing church is always in transition. Number 12, sing out during the congregational singing. Number 13, don't be easily offended. Everyone who loves hard preaching so is directed at them, but the Bible says they that love thy law, it says that they won't be offended. Number 14, if you're married, have children. And number 15, make this year the year that you are the most right with God. A healthy church will be a growing church. I'm not saying you have to do all 15 of those, but maybe there's one or two or three things that you can incorporate this year that you haven't been doing. And if you would do that, then I believe we'll have the greatest year we've ever had as far as reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what we're here to do. It's nice to have New Year's Eve services and activities and all those things, but everything we do around here goes back to this one idea that we are to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, have them baptized, and teach them to follow Christ with their lives. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.